As Rabbi Lauren said, we have two parashas this week. The parasha that's actually for this Shabbat is called Ki Tisa. It means when you take up or when you carry out, in this case, carrying out a census. And it covers Exodus chapters 30 through 34. Included in this section of the Torah is the command to anoint with the sacred oil the tent of meeting, the altar of incense, the tools, and Aaron and his sons, the priests. Holiness is the theme woven throughout this parasha. God is holy, and he wants Israel to be holy. In chapter 31, we meet some very creative people, Bezalel and Oholiab, who together with a group of God-gifted artisans were commissioned to produce all the ornate furnishings for the Tent of Meeting. Question, do you have artistic skills and gifts? If you do, it is because you were given them by God. Don't neglect those gifts. Don't hide them or bury them like that lazy, wicked servant who was rebuked. But at the same time, if you do have artistic abilities and skills, don't take credit for them. Give the glory to God. At the end of chapter 31, God reminds Moses of the seriousness of the Sabbath. It was to be a sign between Adonai and our people throughout our generations. Next, we read that God gave Moses the tablets which he himself, God himself, had inscribed. And we're suddenly reminded that everything that we've been reading all the way going back to chapter 19 took place between Adonai and Moses atop Mount Sinai. Meanwhile, as Jerry alluded to, trouble has been brewing in the camp. When Moses appeared to have delayed too long, Israel panicked, kind of like everybody's panicking right now. Israel panicked, and they gave up on him. The people urged Aaron to construct an idol. This in spite of the fact that just weeks earlier, God met with us at Sinai, clearly warning us not to make idols for ourselves. Nevertheless, Aaron caved in to their demands. He told the people to bring him their fine jewelry, and he took their golden earrings and performed a little artistry of his own. He produced an abomination, a golden calf. Israel declared, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Our people offered sacrifices to the idol, and then sat down to eat," and then the scripture says euphemistically rose up to play, referring to illicit sexual activity. God told Moses to go down quickly, saying, "Your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Well, Moses pleaded on their behalf, but then he said to the Lord that they were your people, whom you brought out from the land of Egypt. Moses entreated God to be merciful for the sake of the patriarchs, reminding him of his covenant promises to Israel. On account of Moses' intercession, God relented and Israel was spared. But there were going to be consequences. After smashing the tablets containing the Ten Commandments, Moses drew that proverbial line in the sand and said, "Whoever is for Adonai, come to me." Out of the entire nation, all 12 tribes, only the tribe of Levi, one tribe was willing to stand up for what is right. 3,000 leaders of that rebellion had to be put to death that day. It is a tragic chapter in our history, and its central placement in the midst of the Torah and in the midst of this parasha, it actually interrupts the narrative otherwise dealing with the tabernacle. This interruption, as it were, is quite intentional. God described our people as stubborn and obstinate. No, really? Well, the nation went into mourning. And for the duration of the wilderness wandering, the whole rest of those 40 years, we no longer wore jewelry or ornamentation. Now it was time to move on. Adonai instructed Moses to fashion two stone tablets like the first ones and to climb Mount Sinai again. And God would inscribe the second set. When Moses returned from the mountain after 40 days, during which time he had been fasting, his face shone from being in God's presence. Chapter 34 contains a reminder not to make any treaties with the inhabitants of the land into which we were going, to Canaan, nor were we to intermarry with them, which would lead inevitably to idolatry. We were also reminded and instructed to celebrate Passover and Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost as it's come to be known, and Sukkot, the Holiday of Tabernacles. These three feasts, these three holidays, would be pilgrimage holidays in which we would go up to the place that the Lord would instruct us. It's important, though, to note that this prohibition against intermarriage had nothing to do with ethnicity. It was all about avoiding idolatry, false religion. Moses himself later would marry an Ethiopian woman. Aaron and Miriam had an attitude about that. They complained about it, and God rebuked the two of them. Well, let me share with you three final thoughts. First of all, out of these 12 tribes, only one, the tribe of Levi, was faithful to Adonai that day. What does that tell us? It tells us that the majority never ever determines what is right. Don't just go along with the crowd. Secondly, this reveals the folly of this claim that Jewish people don't need a mediator. We don't need a middleman, but oh, we can go directly to God. Really? If Moses hadn't placed himself squarely between the wrath, the righteous wrath of God and our sinful people, we would have been obliterated, and justly so. Nor would this be the last time that Moses had to interpose himself between God and Israel. If Jewish people don't need a middleman, then let me also ask this. Why did God institute an entire priestly class, middlemen called Kohanim, priests, to mediate between himself and our people, the nation? In fact, if we properly understand the Levitical system, it becomes apparent immediately why Messiah Yeshua had to offer himself up willingly, his life, in place of ours. The innocent one for the guilty, the just for the unjust. As the prophet Yeshayahu Isaiah declared, by his wounds we are healed. And finally, excuse my reach there, a veneer of religious activity does not transform something evil into something good. Aaron attempted to sanitize, as it were, the making of that golden calf by saying, tomorrow we will have a feast to Adonai. Don't confuse spirituality with righteousness. God is infinitely holy, and we do not dare ignore or reinterpret his instructions. Reminds me of Yeshua's words, be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, we may never attain that perfection in this lifetime, but don't think for one minute that the new covenant standard is somehow lower. If anything, we, Yeshua's people, need to do things better because we now have the full revelation of God. May the Holy One of Israel empower us to obey him, even if it means going outside the camp, defying the majority in order to do what is right. Amen?
Amen.